Praise the Lord, everyone. And an awesome day today. Yesterday was an awesome day. The day before was an awesome. It's been just kind of like awesome all the way back to 1962. For me, anyway. I can't go back any further than that. 52 years ago, 1962. That's my birth. You go 47 years? 1947? Wow. How many of you had awesome days beyond 1947? Ricky Wells had his hand up. Oh, you can be seated tonight. I am so very, we serve such a wonderful God. Somebody said over here 1905, I think it was Sister Darlene. Is that 65? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said 05. Get myself in trouble here. Oh, next Wednesday night, we're going to have a ministry fair here at Calvary Gospel Church. And it's been some time since we've had our last ministry fair, and we've been talking about this for many months now, and we've had to move it around to try to fit it in with everything else that we have going on. In lieu of pastor's Bible study, so there'll be no classes next Wednesday night, and we'll all be meeting in here for a short time of worship, and we'll take care of some of our preliminaries and kind of give you some instruction, and then we'll turn you loose out into the vestibule and into the fellowship hall. But all of our ministries are going to be presented in the fellowship hall as well as the vestibule, and all of the leaders of each ministry is going to be out there at their table, and they'll have their own display that they'll have set up. And I firmly believe that we need to be involved in the kingdom of God. And God has called us into a life of service and into a life in His kingdom. And one of the things that's happened in our society across the years is our concept of service has changed, and it has changed in a quite dramatic way. It's what we see is that real service has almost become a thing of the past, and it's been really replaced by what is most convenient. I sound really loud up here. I don't know how I am out there, but if I'm fine, sound man, you can tell. But anyway, some of you may recall pulling in to a gas station in years gone past. The old Sinclairs had the green dinosaur, and the guys would run out. I remember them coming out. Usually it was three of them. They'd come out in their little white jumpsuits. Now this goes back to not quite 62, but back into the 60s. They'd have their little jumpsuits, and somebody would pump the gas, someone would check the oil, and someone would clean off the windshield. And that was service, and you didn't have to pay for that. It wasn't all, you didn't have to leave a tip unless you desired, but it was all for 19.9 cents a gallon. That's what you got. That was service, and people would go to the various service stations. That's why they were called service stations. Now they're called convenience stores. We go to a convenience store for convenience. We go to a service station because we wanted service. And my grandmas would both go. They had their special service station because they liked the service that they got at that particular service station. And all of these were for free. Now the other extreme is, and that's... I can remember kind of switching a little bit here, having a conversation with a gentleman about church, and then began to talk about church, and we began to talk about, he came in and started asking one day for some information about our church and such, and I began to share with him the various ministries in our church and what ministries we had that could better serve his family, because he had mentioned that he had a number of children, and I talked about our Sunday school. But it seemed to me that the biggest concern was that he wanted to attend a church that was a giving church. He made it very clear. He says, I would like to take, and my family, we would like to attend a church that is a giving church. And he carefully noted that he was the one that was interested in being on the receiving end of that giving church. So we have a lot of people now that when they come to church, they come to church because of what they can receive, not necessarily what they have to give. So here at Calvary Gospel Church, I desire to make sure that when people come into Calvary Gospel Church, that we always put our best foot forward. I believe that you only have one opportunity to make a first impression. After that, it is no longer a first impression. It is just an impression, whether that be a good impression or a bad impression. So one thing that I want to do, and tonight I want to approach this service in a little bit different direction. I want to take and kind of set up next Wednesday night's service. So if you could all turn to your Bibles tonight in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. And while you're turning there, our title of our message tonight is Before Our Double Portion. Before Our Double Portion. I'll explain a little bit of this as we get into it. I would like to thank, over the weekend, we had Sunday morning, we had Brother Dan Powell preach Sunday morning. And Brother Dan, you did a tremendous job. He's our senior high boys. You have a combined class, I believe, in senior high, and did a tremendous job. And then Brother Seidel preached the evening service, and he did a tremendous job. Evening service, so I want to thank those two brothers for carrying on. My wife and I, we were invited to go up along with Bishop. He wasn't able to make it, but to go up to Appleton. They had kind of had a special weekend, and we had agreed to, he was going to preach Sunday a.m., and I was going to speak Sunday p.m., and my wife spoke for a little bit and did a tremendous job. I'm very proud of her. She was not expecting that, but she did a great job. Being the Sunday school person she is, she gave an object lesson. But 1 Kings, how many of you at 1 Kings? Are we all there? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. And this is a passage of scripture that we've heard, we've actually read many times over this pulpit within the last few months, and we're going to approach it a little different tonight. So he departed hence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. That's quite a few oxen. A yoke is two. So if I'm correct on this, that would be 24 oxen before him. And he was with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So when Elijah went past him and Elisha was plowing, it says, and he with the 12th, behind the 12th yoke of oxen, Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Immediately we see that Elisha in verse 20, he left the oxen, ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, meaning he returned back from Elisha, back to his oxen, and he took the yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Now that's dedication. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. As I said, tonight we're going to be speaking on the subject of before our double portion. I believe that it is God's desire that each and every one of us as saints of God to live and to grow in him. He desires that we would become anointed servants. He desires that we would be anointed in our ministry. He desires that we would be servants of great faith. I love the story of the centurion that when he approached Jesus, when his son was sick unto death or had died, he said, "Just speak the word, and my son will be healed. He will be made whole." And Jesus said, "Yea, I've never seen this level of faith in all of Israel." God desires that his servants, that you and I here tonight, would be servants of great faith. And not only with that great faith, but we would have a great understanding and we would have great power. I believe that is the reason why that God has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is power. It's God's power. It's the supernatural power of God that dwells and works within us. It's my desire that each one of you tonight, and I include myself in this, would leave this place with the desire to serve God in ministry. God desires to change us here tonight. And God desires to take us to a new level in Him. God desires that we would have a new level of faith and a new level of prayer and a new level of worship, a new level of praise and a new level of giving. I'm so thankful for our last offerings that we have had for our missionaries. In three missionaries, we've exceeded almost, reached the 75% mark of what we normally would give almost all year. We have over $40,000, I believe, in the last, that wouldn't be 75, it'd be 60%, I think, of our total. But God has just done some great things. I mean, in one service, we ended up, and the money's still coming in. I think we will or have topped the $30,000 mark for Sister Lynn Jewett. $30,000. That's faith. That's great faith. That's awesome. That's awesome. And then we've had, on a prayer meeting night, we had $3,000 offering raised on a prayer meeting night with about this many people. So God desires to take us to a new level of giving, but God says that those that are giving people and those that give out of their abundance, those that give sacrificially, that there's going to be a new level of blessing. You wonder why you never are blessed? It's probably because you never give. It's just kind of simple. So we read in our text tonight, or in our text, we find that Elijah had departed to the wilderness of Damascus. Now, I'm always interested in why did he go to the wilderness of Damascus, or through the wilderness of Damascus. So I looked that up, because Elijah still had this continual issue in his life, and that was Jezebel. How many of you remember Jezebel? Jezebel was like his continual nemesis in his life. So here we find Elijah by way of the wilderness of Damascus. He finds Elisha. He was on a mission. God had sent them. That means he was looking for Elisha. God is always looking for men and women that will serve him. That is what God is looking for. Perhaps tonight you may be in God's radar. You may be on his list of individuals that he desires that would serve him. I got to take a little water here. I had supper just before service tonight. I usually don't eat before I preach, but I was kind of hungry. And it was really good, but it was a taco bake. You ever try to preach and burp tacos at the same time? It's a little bit, sometimes, you know, I'm sorry. Not only is God just looking for men and women to serve him, but he's looking for people in which he can say, I want to elevate that person. You see, when you come into the kingdom of God, we all repent, baptize, and are filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the beginning. So many times we think that's the end. That's the beginning. And God says, you know what, James Hawk, I want to elevate you. I got something that's a whole lot bigger than what James Hawk would ever envision in his mind. And God says, I want to elevate my people. I don't want them to stay at the beginning. I want to bring them into a deeper relationship. There are so many places that one can go in God. It's limitless where you can go in God if one is willing. So why did God choose Elisha? Was it because he had great talent? And that God just had to have this man on his team no matter the cost? That's our attitude in the sports world today. I will pay $120 million to have this man on my team. I got to have this person on my team. And I'll go to any lengths to get him there. That's the way of the world. But God says, no, 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 no. Elisha, what a guy. I got to have him. Just think of the great things that he can do for my kingdom. Look at him now. He's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Wow, the closest to that is 2. I got to have him. He's my man. He's got a lot of money. He's got a big house. Got a big farm, lots of servants. No, you read about Elisha. He was out plowing in a field behind 12 yoke of oxen. no doubt covered with dirt, plowing from sunup till sundown, sweating. He had that dirt ring around his neck that we get when we're out in the dirt. Sweating, working hard, his elbows, no doubt, in the inner parts of his arms were all full of dirt and sweat. Last night, about 11:30, I was out sitting by my pond, and when the weather gets nice, I like to kind of sit out there, and it's kind of a really great time to just pray and be alone with God. And I kept hearing this noise out in the field across, and I got up and walked out in the front yard, and here the farmer was out, 11:30 at night, planting corn. You see, nobody noticed. Nobody stopped by and looked and said, oh, I'm going to watch this guy plant corn in the dark. There was no crowds of people around. There Elisha was out plowing. Sometimes in your life, you may feel as if no one even notices what you're doing. But I want to tell you tonight that God notices. God notices and he understands the sacrifice that you have made. God notices your faithfulness. God notices your commitment. God notices your willingness to do the jobs, perhaps the jobs that no one else wants to do. I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about life. God notices. Elisha had God's attention. I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing tonight that perhaps may have grabbed the attention of the Almighty God? So what was Elisha himself doing to get God's attention? Was he just sitting around with his hands folded, waiting for a perfect ministry opportunity that would just be tailored designed for his unique talent and abilities? Was he waiting for the anointing of God and says, God, I will get involved in bus ministry. I will get involved in outreach, but you've got to anoint me first, God. I want that double portion, God. Really? Seriously? But see, this is what happens much too often in our lives. Just recently, many of you have noticed and watched the video of Brother Stone King spoke before the United Nations, spoke on introducing the name of Jesus. I thought that was just awesome, incredible, that a man of God, one of our own United Pentecostal Church ministers, would be able to take and speak before the United Nations on the name of Jesus. It was tremendous. Go online, look it up, watch it on YouTube, seeing one of our own preaching before the United Nations. Now, how often is that? But you see, why him? Why him? Why did God choose him? Why not me? I can speak, but you see, it's because God has placed a great anointing on his life, and he has allowed God to take him places. If I could say to death and back. You see, he's been faithful. He's been diligent. He's been disciplined. And he's been responsible. And God says, I am going to use this man because he has worked. Let me ask you something here. If you're just sitting and you're uninvolved in ministries, why does God need, or why do you need God's anointing? Now think about that. If all you intend to do is just sit, why does God want to take and anoint someone that is just going to sit? I don't know that I'm positive. I don't think I've ever seen that. It's like the bishop has stated in the past, using a phrase from him, he calls Bible junkies. We're so full of head knowledge, but we have no heart knowledge. There's no desire there to take and serve others. The Bible is meant to be lived out, not merely talked about. So many times, we like to talk about it. We like to say, oh, pastor, tickle my ear. Give me some deep nugget. Go dig your own nugget. How about a little service? Seriously. I mean, you know the reason that people fall away from God is because they're so used to everybody else feeding them. They never learn how to feed themselves. You got a Bible. Start reading it. You say, I don't know where to read. Start in like Genesis. That's a good place to start. And then maybe follow it up, read along with maybe in the New Testament, like maybe start in Matthew or start in one of the epistles. James is a great book to read. Start dig in for yourself. Was he just sitting around with his hands folded, waiting for a perfect ministry opportunity, waiting for that anointing, waiting for his double portion? No. So what was he doing? So when we look at Elisha, he was busy where he was at. Elijah finds him in the fields. He wasn't at home telling servants what to do. With 12 yoke of oxen, they no doubt had many servants. He wasn't at home shouting out orders. He was working in the field. He was busy where he was at. He was working with what he had. He was dependable. He was responsible. He had a job, and he needed to get that job done because he was responsible as at this time yet to his father. He had learned the trust of others. Elisha's father knew that he could trust Elisha alone in the field with 12 yoke of oxen. He didn't have to stand over him, watching him all the time. He knew that whatever was placed in Elisha's hands would be completed. You have to understand something here, that trust is not given out to an individual. Trust is not something that I come in and say, here, Sister Peggy, I want to give you a little trust. Here, I've got it right here. It's on this card. I'm going to give you some trust. No, trust is something that has to be earned, and it's earned over time. It's not just earned instantly. It's something that you earn over time. Also, Elisha, he was a self-starter. He didn't get to where he was at by being lazy and being the last one out of the house every morning. He was a self-starter. He had self-discipline, meaning that he had a disciplined life, a life that was in order. And order here is the proper arrangement of things. He had his priorities right. So many Christians, they may have trust, they may be self-starters, they may have some of these talents and abilities and such, but they never quite seem to get their priorities right. Never seem to get things in order. It amazes me how the body of Christ, when we look at priorities and discipleship, how the body of Christ, sometimes we view discipleship and we view the disciplined life as if it's some kind of a punishment from God. Amen? Some kind of a punishment, and it's like we can't ever have any fun because we're Christians. We can't have fun or enjoy life. You see, Elisha, he was willing to work with no immediate reward. I look at that farmer last night as he was planting his corn out in the field. You know what? It's going to be probably mid-October, late October, before that farmer begins to enjoy the fruit of his labor. So many times today in our society, when we work, we expect immediate gratification. We live in a world today that if we don't get immediate reward for things, we don't stick with it. We're in this for the long haul. We're in this theoretically for eternity. Elisha was a hard worker. He gave himself 100% to his work. Some people work harder trying to get out of working. I've worked with folks that it seemed like they spent more time trying to get out of work than it would take to just do it. I used, as many of you know, in past, I was a plumber, was in the plumbing industry, and we've got a few plumbers here tonight, and a brother Gary Chernikowski is a plumber. I think they're out class, and brother Nathan Rossing's in here. He's a plumber. My son-in-law Marvin. But you know, if you're going to dig a ditch, you just got to get a shovel and a pick, and you just got to go at it, right, guys? I mean, there's no other simple way to do it. But I've worked with guys that have spent more time and more energy trying to figure out how to dig a ditch than just getting in there and doing it. Hard work. Just buckle down and get it done. Elisha didn't have to be sweet-talked to work. No one bribed him to do his work. He didn't have to be patted on the back every time he did do work. everybody, and I understand that everybody needs to be appreciated, and I'm so thankful for all of the volunteers that we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. I read of a pastor a short time ago and talking about volunteer ministry that he took, and he notified all the volunteer ministry, all volunteer ministries in their church, to come to church Sunday morning and don't do anything. Just come into sanctuary. Nothing. Don't do anything. So the congregation showed up. There was no ushers to greet them. There was no greeters. There was no one at the office reception desk. Nobody answering telephones. They come in and they sit down. There's no ushers in the sanctuary. They took their kids to the classrooms. The classrooms are all locked up. There's no teachers. They come in the sanctuary. They get up and there's nobody to sing. The pastor gets up and he begins to do his best singing. And then he preaches and he begins to preach about the importance of volunteers. The importance of ministry. God designed us to work. God designed us to minister to other people. So these were the qualities in Elisha's life that attracted God's attention. But there are people in the church, and I know I've recently preached about this, talking about a double portion, but yet, as we talk about desiring a double portion, we have yet to qualify ourselves even for our first portion. Thus, the title of the message, Before Our Double Portion. The anointing is no substitute for hard work. I don't care how much you're anointed. If you don't work hard, you're not going to last very long. The anointing is no substitute for training and education. God desires that we be trained in ministry and educated in His Word. The anointing is no substitute for character. Jesus did not say, ye shall know them by their gifts or by their anointing. He didn't say that, Brother Glenn, people are going to love you because your gifts and because your anointing. He says, no, ye shall know my people and ye shall know them by their fruits. He doesn't care about talents. He doesn't care about anointing. He gives the anointing out. But he says, I'm not going to give the anointing out on someone that can't, their character can't support it. I'm not going to give my anointing out to someone that won't work hard. The fruit of the Spirit are the qualities and attitudes of Jesus manifested through our humanity for the benefit of humanity. Many of God's people, we mistakenly assume that the anointing is everything. The anointing, it does not replace choir practice. The anointing does not replace Bible study. The anointing does not replace prayer. The anointing does not replace ministry. Some of you may think that the anointing is more important than talent, but we should also realize that talent is a gift from God. And when your talent is anointed by God, it glorifies God at the very highest of levels. In other words, excellence is talent and training yielded to the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing is the power of God. It is for the power of God for service. Character is the nature and very attribute of Christ. When you put the power of God and the nature of God together, you have a full manifestation of Jesus Christ Himself. Let's look for a moment at the life of Samson. There was no question that Samson had supernatural ability. God had given it to him. He had a super, double, triple, quadra portion of the power of God. He had strength by the anointing of God, but his life was out of balance. There was no character in his life. He strongly lacked moral character, and there was no fruit of the Spirit. That's why Samson ended up the way that Samson ended up. You see, anointing without godly character or without the fruit of the Spirit is just confusing and it's contradictory. While Elisha was waiting on the anointing, he was developing his character, because character matters. Elisha was becoming the kind of man that God could trust with his anointing. He was becoming the kind of man that God could use. And next week when we go into our ministry fair, we begin to look at our ministries. And if you're involved in a ministry tonight, I want you to take this message to heart. You see, I believe that Elisha was waiting for something in his life. I mean, you just don't walk away from what he walked away from in the manner in which he walked away. That'd be like God calling me and saying, Pastor Roy, I'm going to call you to the mission field. You're going to go to Burkina Faso. Are the claws not in here? Do we have someone from Burkina Faso to give me a yip? You know, and they say, all right, God's called me. I go home, say, come on, honey, grab a suitcase. Actually, we don't even see you grab a suitcase. I go home, I douse the house in gas, burn it down, drive the car in, burn it up, and head out. That's a pretty dramatic way of saying goodbye. But that's exactly what he did. He was becoming the kind of man that God could use. I couldn't help as he was waiting for something. He didn't know exactly what it was. Maybe he didn't know exactly where it would come from. I don't know that he would even know what it looked like or what it would feel like. He just knew that he needed something in his life that he did not have. We all have that something in our lives that we feel that we need, but we simply don't have. And while Elisha was in the fields, and while he was plowing, he was waiting. While he was praying, he was waiting. He was plowing and watching. He was praising and watching. He was plowing and expecting something in his life. His spirit was reaching out. Something on the inside of him was stirring him. And what is that? What is it inside of you tonight? What is it inside of me tonight that is stirring us? Something on the inside of him was telling him that you're bigger than this, Elisha. I have something more for you. You may be in your ministry tonight and you may feel like there's nowhere else to go, that you've reached the very pinnacle of where you can go. But God is saying, listen, be faithful to me. Continue working on trust in your character. Stay in my word. Stay in my word. Keep praying. Keep fasting. There is so much more for you. Ministry, where you're at now could just be the beginning of where God desires to take you. If individuals transition to the next level, then ministries are going to transition to the next level. When Brother Dominguez was here, he talked about our church in the middle of many different transitions, and I believe that we are in such a transition that we are getting ready. I believe that there's a change taking place within us. We talk about transitioning to the next level, and if you as an individual, if me as an individual, if I take and I transition to the next level and we're God is calling me, and you involved in ministries or ministry leaders, you begin to transition to the next level. As a result, the church will transition to the next level. But sad to say, some of us will not make the transition because we're just simply unwilling to leave the oxen. We're unwilling to change because transition always demands change. So Elijah comes by, and Elijah represents the anointing of God. I believe that God is walking through our building tonight, walking up and down these aisles. His spirit is here. His presence is here. And he represents the anointing of his spirit. Elijah walks out into the field where Elisha is plowing behind his oxen covered with dirt, and he throws a mantle on him. I'm glad that God, when he looked at me, Brother Hawk, he saw something within me that he can use. That he can use. It wasn't perfect. It was all covered in dirt. It was grimy. It wasn't anywhere near perfection. You may look at it and say, seriously, are you kidding me? You don't look too spiritual with all the dirt on your face, dragging your feet in the dirt, sweat pouring down your face. But God says, I can use him. I can use her. I want to take and lay my mantle on them. You see, when Elijah's mantle touched Elisha, destiny stepped into Elisha's spirit and said, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. This is the opportunity. This is what I've been praying and asking God for. When God steps into your life and he lays a mantle of ministry upon your shoulders, this is what we are or should be looking for. If you're not involved in ministry, you severely handicap your ability for God to use you in any way. Why? Because you are not allowing yourself to be used. So how does God use someone who doesn't desire to be used? When you look at Elisha, I believe that God had anointed his life from an early on, thus leading him and launching him into a life of serving the prophet Elijah. Notice his ministry starts out in service. That's what we all are here for. We're here for service. I believe strongly that he that is chief among you is servant of all. I want to have a servant's heart. I don't want to be a pastor that expects everyone to serve me. Maybe when I'm old and in a nursing home, we can pick a number to change my diaper. But until that point in time, I want to serve others. The first anointing that Elisha was launched into or in ministry, thus positioning himself. Notice how this process works. He didn't get to the second point until he completed the first portion. He positioned himself for the second anointing or the double portion of his ministry. So many lives, we want the anointing and the power of God in our lives, but very few of us want to position ourselves in humility and submission. Submission to one another. Submission, husbands submitting, or wives submitting to their husbands, and their husbands submitting to their pastor or to their boss or whoever it may be. But we struggle with that humility and the submission to the man of God over their lives and say, teach me, lead me, correct me when I'm wrong, and rebuke me when I need it. Everyone wants the double portion anointing, but the double portion doesn't come until you've walked and lived and served under the first anointing. When Elijah's mantle touched Elisha, the Bible says immediately, he went after Elijah. He left everything to follow after the calling of God in his life. Not only did he walk away, as I said earlier, he killed his ox and burned his plow, left his family. That's how much he desired to see God's ministry fulfilled in his life. Elisha knew that he was not going to get where Elisha was overnight, but he committed himself to the process. Elisha says, go back. And what I have done unto you, this is his first test. Right here is where a lot of people begin to fail. They give up. They've been touched by the anointing. But the price of continuing on in ministry becomes too steep. Leave my family? Are you serious? I got to walk away from them? This farm that I've worked so hard to build, I got to walk away from? These oxen? I've raised them from birth. I got to walk away from it. I built this plow with my own two hands. I've got to walk away from it. Are you serious, God? Serious? I got to make a living. You see, that's a test. The price of discipleship, sacrifice, and commitment is too high, and they settle back down into their comfort zones. Listen, when God says, I want to use you, he's always going to make a way for your calling or your ministry. He will test you. I remember a test. I prayed, God, I wanted to start my own plumbing business. And, And I'll skip forward. God blessed. I started a business 5 years. It was fantastic. God blessed in so many ways. It was just unbelievable. It was 5 incredible years in my life. I can't believe how God orchestrated everything. Did I work hard? You better believe it. Was it tough? Yes, it was tough. But I learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about my God. But at the end of 5 years, I began to feel that there was something more. God, am I destined the rest of my life? Not to say that there's anything wrong with that. But God, what is there out there? What is it? I remember having a meltdown one day, and brother and sister Tom Nelson, a home they were building over in, I forget the name of the subdivision, off of Highway 19. I'm sitting there, it's 8 o'clock at night, and all the families are having barbecues, and I can smell the grills burning, and here I am working, having to get this done. Diane was kind of hard on me, pushing, and she's got to get this done by tomorrow. Tom was saying, let up, let the guy at least have lunch. Just kidding. I had to get it done. I knew the timeline. I knew the deadline. And I sat down in the bathtub and I started to just weep. Say, God, is this the way the rest of my life is going to be? If it is, then I will accept it and I will move on. But I just felt something inside saying there's more. But there came a time when God said, are you willing to give up that blessing that I gave you? I had to make a decision. God didn't require me to burn my house. Didn't require me to leave my family. He required me to give up my security, knowing that I took great pride in what I did with these hands. And God placed me into a ministry that I can't always see what I do with the hands. Sometimes it's very abstract. You don't know the results. Right, God, the price of discipleship, the sacrifice and commitment so high, they're unwilling to make that change, unwilling to make that transition. God will always place you. I believe this so strongly. God will always place you, or he will place people in your life to assist you and where God is leading you in ministry. I look back 15 years in my life, and every stage of those 15 years, God has placed people in my life that has helped and assisted me to get through that stage. God had a mission. God had a plan. When Elisha is plowing in his fields, praying for God to move in his life in some way, he's waiting. He's watching for that opportunity. He's being faithful. He's being consistent with what he had been given. Just a little ways away, God is telling Elijah, his servant, I want you to go and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, for he will be the prophet in your place. So here Elijah's out in the field wondering, God, is there more to my life? God is working on Elijah and say, I want you to go by way of the wilderness of Damascus and I want you to anoint Elisha to stand in your place. You see, while he's serving, while we're serving God with diligence, just taking care of business, we're faithful, and the little things, we're willing and we're obedient. God is telling us the anointing is coming. The anointing you desire in your ministry is coming. You might not be able to see it at this point, but it's coming. You may not be able to hear it tonight, but it's coming. You may not be able to tell in your present circumstances, but it's coming. God is telling us, Calvary Gospel Church, just keep on plowing in your ministries because it's coming. Keep on praying because it's coming. Keep on pressing forward. Don't grow weary and well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Your anointing is coming. Your dream, your destiny, your victory, what you've been praying for, it's coming. Keep on plowing, keep pressing, keep praying. Don't quit, don't worry about the dirt. You may not see it, Elisha, but your anointing is on the way. Don't worry about getting all emotional. You have waited for this opportunity to serve. You have waited for God to use you in such a powerful way. You have been out plowing in the field for a long time. The time has come, dreaming about your anointing. Elisha no doubt thought, I pull this plow when it's cold. I pull this plow when it's raining. I pull this plow when everyone else had left the field. I've waited for some time to serve. You see, God's anointing, when his anointing comes, it destroys the yoke. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Everything that you do for God should have the anointing of God on it. Every ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church must have the anointing in it. We must sing with the anointing of God. We must play our instruments with the anointing of God. We must cook in the kitchen with the anointing of God. Our ushers need to have, our greeters need to have, our janitors that clean the building and all of the maintenance and the phone calls. Everything we do here, we need to have the anointing of God on it. The anointing makes a difference between what is pretty and what is powerful. It's what is talent and what is ministry. It's what is activity and what is productivity. What is gold and what is glory. The anointing makes the difference. The anointing just doesn't come to sit. It was never designed by God to be dormant. When Elijah passed by Elisha, Elisha's life was changed forever. If our musicians can come at this time, if you can stand to your feet, our ministries need to be as life-changing for the people involved in the ministries as they are for the people that they are ministering to. Did you understand what I said there? Our ministries need to move us and change us as much as we in our ministry under the anointing of the Holy Ghost have the ability to help change the lives of people. If our ministries aren't changing us, then there's something wrong with us or our ministry. And because we are a part of our ministry, then it starts with us. If you're a leader of a ministry and you don't have and feel that you have the anointing of God in your ministry as you would like, the anointing starts with the leader. Starts with me. Starts with Brother Hawk. If they want to have the anointing of God in Revival Ridge, it's going to start with this man right here. They want the anointing of God on Park Street. Sisters Loving Sisters, it's going to start Sister Darlene. God says, I want my church. I want my ministries to have my anointing. We must, church, we must take that next step. Sometimes as we step over into that anointing, people, I've heard of this, I've been around long enough to know, people say, "Oop, serious, Derek, jumping around like that, what's up with that, really, Vanna, you really got to sing that way, serious, I mean, look at all those visitors out there looking, they don't, come on, really, Sister Peggy, you got to get out here and you got to like jump and shout, really?" I mean, just because God healed you of cancer and all of this, I mean, come on. You see, God is desiring. God wants his church. He wants you. He wants me. People will become jealous, trying to stifle, settle it down. I believe that the anointing of God is here tonight. I can feel the anointing of God's Spirit in this place. Tonight, ministry has found you. Service has found you. The anointing has found you. I want to ask you, is there anybody here tonight ready to go to another level in ministry tonight? Are you looking to go into another level in the anointing of the Holy Ghost? I'm going to open up this altar. If you're a father and you wish to have the anointing on your family, you need to be down here. You see, you wonder why your family struggles. Sometimes it's because dad struggles. Your ministry, you want the anointing in your ministry. It's not just to just have the anointing. You have to maintain the anointing. Listen, the world's not going to get an easier place to live in. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. And we need more and more and more of God. You want the anointing in your marriage? And you need to take the hand of your husband, hand of your wife, and join together. And you need to come down to this altar and say, God, we need you in our life. It doesn't show a sign of weakness. It shows a sign of willingness to give your marriage, to give your life to God. Are we ready? Are we ready tonight? So excited. Last year we had 60 children get the Holy Ghost in our Sunday school. What does that tell me? It tells me we have anointed Sunday school. We have anointed teachers. The Holy Ghost is flowing through our classrooms. But we have to pray and continue to pray for the anointing to continue to flow.
Would be an anointing of the Holy Ghost that would rest upon them.